download from Triple J.
For more music, current affairs, comedy and culture, triplej.net.au.
And now...
2008.
Richard Kingswell with you this evening on the new music show 2008 here at Triple J. Time to chat to the Cold War Kids. Now, this Californian band made such a strong impression on us with their first album, Robbers and Cowards. We got so much great material off that. We featured the album at the time. We also fell in love with tracks like We Used to Vacation and also Hang Me Up to Dry, both of which did incredibly well in last year's Hottest 100. The two guys that I spoke to recently about the making of their second record were Nathan Willett, their singer, and also Matt Mouse, their bass player. We talked about the second album, Loyalty to Loyalty, which to my mind is a very different record to their first. We'll get to that a little later on in this chat, but I started off by asking the guys what they thought the major differences were between the two albums.
The first record we made pretty much in about 10 consecutive days, some of re-recording of old songs and very quickly, and not a lot of thought to, or I shouldn't say not, less thought to sonically how it would be as a whole piece. This one we got to...
Sorry, so with that first record, you were just kind of after the performances as opposed to kind of fine-tuning the sound?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
The songs have been done for a while, and we were kind of locked into a routine with them because we had played them live so many times. A lot of the songs on this new record, some of them we had never played live before, and some of them we had written 2-3 days before going into the studio, so they're brand new. Mm.
So that's a really different approach then.
Yeah, it was very different.
Yeah, like one Mexican Dogs, I think we wrote the day before we recorded it.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Well, it can be good and bad. One, you can have a spontaneous performance, but two, you don't have any time to reflect on whether it's a good song or not.
Right.
Which is really exciting, yeah.
But the way that we solved that problem was like that we kind of... spaced out, instead of like blocking out 2 months or 3 months or whatever to be in a studio, we just blocked out days where we were in a bunch of, this is our first experience too, in some nicer like LA studios like Ocean Way and Sound City, and like, so we kind of just instead of blocking out a few months, just went a couple days here and there, like a couple days at Ocean Way and then a month later at another place, and so that would kind of afford us to be able to record, you know, 3 or 4 songs at a time. Some of them like totally live, you know, even vocals live and everything, and then others approaching them differently. But that for certain songs, like the Mexican Dogs one, we recorded, I think the day before we were going to record, we were rehearsing, and then we had this song. We were like, you know what, let's just record this tomorrow, you know, because we already have these other songs, you know, it's like, it's going to be, we're already going, you know, so it was like that element kind of is like a safeguards you against the whole, like, what if this is terrible and we just don't know it yet because we just did it today. So, but that's, yeah, it was kind of nice to space it out.
But then some of the songs like Relief, we were working on for probably over 3 years before it ever like really came out. And finally it came out on the record. So
that one's been sort of changing and evolving throughout the course of the band's history.
Three and a half years.
I wanted to talk to you about a few of the songs, so we might as well start talking about them as we're mentioning these song titles. Let's talk about Mexican Dogs, because it's a really great track from the record. What's the inspiration for the song, and how did it sort of come into being whilst you were recording the album?
We played a single show in Mexico City, and we went down there for a few days and got to explore a little bit and like just kind of observing, looking at stuff. We on a side note, we have a DVD that's coming out with the record that that our friend Vern made that follows us around through a lot of the recording process, and there actually is a pretty good explanation of it in that. So I'll say what I already said in it, but then also say, you know, it's worth seeing again because you get to see the evolution of it,
sure.
Actually, because he gets footage of us while we're in Mexico City, and it kind of, you know, there's dogs and they're running around and
Mexican dogs,
there's a lot of visuals that kind of like, I think kind of create some of the thematic stuff happening there. But
is it a sad song?
It's like a sad but redemptive song, I think. You know, it's like there's a group, we have like unity in each other even though we're like kind of abandoned.
Mexican dogs are a different breed, like any other dog I think we've ever seen. That's why they hit us so hard. They bite your ankles, but they love your ankles. They bite it hard, but they don't bite it too hard. And a lot of them have 3 legs because, you know, they chase after cars and they lose a leg, it's not. It's, there's a lot of three-legged dogs down there.
Yes, Mexican Dogs there from the brand new album from Cold War Kids, which is called Loyalty to Loyalty. And I'm speaking to the guys, Nathan and Matt, from Cold War Kids about this new album.
I think for us too, it's really cool to see how we have developed and we, some of the songs on the new record are maybe a little, I guess maybe more traditional in that they are, maybe they flow better in terms of like verse chorus kinds of things. But then, like, the songs like Pregnant and, like, a lot of the songs on the first record are, like, they really are, like, an awkward teenager where, like, they don't have their structure, they don't have their identity. But at the same time, I think that's really resonated with people, and that's a pretty cool thing.
Listen, this might be a question for you, Nathan. Is this essentially a fairly sad record in themes and subject matters?
That's a... good question. I don't know. Like, it's supposed to be. I mean, it's a sad record, and there's fatalistic things about it. And at the same time, there, you know, the idea of like community, I think, is supposed to be, which is, you know, like in songs like Mexican Dogs and Relief and Against Privacy, and yeah, most of them, I think that resonates throughout. Yeah.
Are there little political messages in here as well? Politically inspired songs. There seems to be to my ears.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely wanted to say more than the last record. The last record is mostly narratives that are not really commenting on much other than their own story, and this kind of says more, I think, yeah.
Yeah, well, there is a real need to be political in this day and age. It's very hard for a human being to ignore the politics of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it make it feel better for you to get something out there?
Yeah, I think it's important to you know, be artful about how you talk about the things that are going on around you, and it gets hard to talk about, you know, issues explicitly, and then it's silly to not comment on them at all. So walking that line there, I think, is the most important thing to do. And it does feel nice to be like, okay, we're not writing another you know, love song or another destructive relationship song or another something that, like, that most of what's going on around us, you know, but we're writing songs that are, you know, they're subtle, like, nods, you know, they're like kind of like a wink to the people who, you know, you catch that reference, you know, and you say, like, and that person kind of thinks like, oh, you know, they think differently about that thing, or they think about, you know, the kinds of things that they're bringing into that thing, whatever, you know. Hmm. So, yeah, hopefully that wasn't too abstract.
Yeah. It took a few listens. This record confused the hell out of me the first time I listened to it.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you had that comment from anyone else who's been close enough to this record?
Honestly, I think we talked about this, how really I have not still... minus yourself, talked about the record really with anybody on any kind of deep level outside of our immediate selves and our immediate friends who don't have much of an objective opinion about it because they know us so well and everything. So,
but do they like it? I mean, friends.
Yeah, totally. They like it. It's really, we're still in that really bizarre space of where you put something out into the world and you don't really know if it is crazy or not. You know, you don't know if, you know, if people are going to hear it and be like, what? You know, like you said, like, where you think, mm-hmm. like, this is weird. What is this?
It gets crazy in the middle. The middle section of this record gets... That's the Blake bit that I was talking about, where I feel like there's songs about suicide with, you know, the image of, you know, people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
And there's this sort of really... I know you're fans of Tom Waits, but there's this sort of Tom Waits kind of syncopated playing on some of the songs, and it gets really low key, and you go, my God, are they going to pull me out of this?
Yeah.
And just one Trainspotting question to end with, because I'm an old REM fan, especially their stuff in the 80s. Did you nick the song title from them, Welcome to the Occupation?
Was that
a conscious lift from the REM song?
It was, but it kind of in just a really bizarre way where it wasn't like, I'm going to use that song title for this song. It was like, wow, this just works so well for this song that I can't not use it. There's, you know, it's nice to reference things that you recreate. You know, it's like we're kind of lifting that, but giving it a totally, you know, it's a makeover version of what that is. It has nothing to do with that song other than like the simple concept of it. So
yeah. Well, I like the fact that you used Occupation completely differently to how Stipe was writing about.
Yeah,
you know, he was writing, I think, about Central America situations,
right,
and occupying countries, but
yeah,
you're writing about your time as a public school teacher.
Yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah.
So it's got a nice twist there.
I like it.
Okay. Nathan and Matt from Cold War Kids, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
2008.
New releases every Sunday evening.
Triple J.